Come along. All right. Oh, thank you, because you've aged out. I thought you were coming all the way up. Okay. Oh, my goodness, look at them. So, church, we just ask all these old kids to come up here to the front before they go back to those classrooms so we can see them. We're just blessed by them. And so we just thank the Lord that God has brought their mamas and daddies and grannies and grandpas in here. We just are blessed by their presence. And so we have a space for these children to learn about Jesus in a way that they're going to grasp. Just like we expect that we're going to understand Jesus in a way that we'll grasp. So all you cowboys, cowgirls, cow kids, let's all pull our hats off. Let's all bow our head. Let's all close our eyes and focus on Jesus for just a minute while we pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for what you've done on the cross. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for grace and love and mercy. And Lord, we just thank you that you've given us this place and this time to praise you like we love you with all our heart. And so, Lord, now that we go back to this time of learning, would you open up our hearts and our eyes and our ears to understand you and your word? And we ask these things in the name of your son, Jesus, who has given us the authority to pray to you. Amen. All right, everybody, right to the back. Yeah, go to trot. Go by the donut aisle, though. Everybody should go by the donut aisle before you get to classroom because teachers love children with sugar in them. And Mountain Dew. Our budget will reflect Mountain Dew on tap in the coming year. Maybe. If anything works out good, it would be like that. All right. Well, I got to be honest with you. I got a lot to say. It's always the case, though, right? So anyway, I gotta pack it down into the next 2 hours. Yeah, some people are cool with that. Some people are already. No, wait, I'm lying about that deal. Here's our deal. So it's time, I believe, it is time for us, for the church. For those who have realized God's amazing grace, who once were blind but now see, it is time for the church, I think, today to understand what it is that we are called to do. Because I'm not convinced that the church, the Big C Church, understands this. And I'm not saying this is because this is what I think. This is what I experience. I'm saying that this thing teaches us who we are, why we are, what we are. And if we're all going to say we're Christians and saved and live this life, then we got to go by this. You might be familiar with the seven churches in Revelation. The seven churches that Jesus says, tell this to the church. And I've always kind of battled in my head, why in the world are there just seven things that we got to focus on? To be the church, to be who God's called us to be, because you and I are individually the church, corporately we're the church, and then in a great big old giant big blue marble, we are the church too. All talking about the same Bible and the same Jesus. We call ourselves by different names, but this is the truth of it. So those seven churches of Revelation, God says, tell this to those church leaders and remember. This I love about you, but this I'm struggling with about you. And there's more than just seven things. And I thought, how do we understand how we're supposed to be if we can't understand this part of Revelation? And I want to go there. I want to look into what God expects of his church individually and corporately. But to begin with, we got to set a foundation. We got to get to a place, I think, where we'll understand that what those seven churches and what that is really talking about. And we can't do that unless we understand the church. So, having said that, I think it's pretty important for us to go to Matthew 16. If you ain't got your Bibles, we got a truckload of them. It's super important you have this so that you can underline it and highlight it and mark it down, write words in there, talk about it. What's that preacher talking about? Matthew 16 in this Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John begins about 2/3 of the way of the New Testament through the Bible is the New Testament. And Matthew chapter 16 is on page 747. 747 in this Bible. And you just got to ride this pony with me. If you're thinking, God, what is that preacher talking about? How's he going to get there? Well, just stay saddled up, right? So everybody get off, pull the girt tight, because we're going to trot for a little ways. And in Matthew 16 and verse 13, Jesus is talking about something we, those who were once were blind and now see, might be familiar with. Peter's declaration of who Jesus is. It's a pretty big deal for us to get our head around. So in 16 and 13, here's what the Bible says. This is what Matthew relates to us. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? He says, who are the people out there saying I am? And, well, they replied. Some said that you're probably like John the Baptist. And some say, well, you're Elijah, a great prophet in the Old Testament. Or John, or Jeremiah, another one of those great prophets. The people all of Israel knew spoke from God. And they're saying, well, most of the people are saying you're like those guys. You're one of those guys. You're a great prophet. That's what they're saying. You're a great prophet. They're not saying you're Lord. They're not saying you're the Son of God. They're not saying, they're saying you're like a great prophet. You're a great preacher. Everybody wants to hear you. And in 15, Jesus said to them, who do you say that I am? So he looks right at those 12 boys, those 12 who are intimate and personal with him. And he says, who do you say that I am? Outside of what everybody else is thinking, what are you thinking? So understand this. First thing I want you to recognize is Jesus is asking you the same question. He's asking me and he's asking them. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter, you know Simon Peter, the big fisherman, the guy that throat punched people. Tell the Lord of creation, I got your back. Peter. Peter pops off. He says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That should be our answer. That should be everybody's answer. And Peter just throws that out there, bam! Right? We think, yeah, everybody knows that, but do you? Take a hold of this. Jesus said, these letters are red in this Bible and a lot of Bibles. Every word in this Bible, whether it's in black ink or red ink, is the Word of God. But Jesus said this. Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, because he's not Peter yet. Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You didn't learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church. And all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. This teaches us so much about who we are as a church. And we skip over this and we want to misinterpret this and we want to misunderstand this. And we want to take stuff out of this that wasn't said in this. Fundamentally, we got to savvy something about what Jesus is saying the church is right here. And the first thing he says is that you did not learn this from any human being. He said, Peter, you don't know this because I told you. You don't know this because somebody else told you. You don't know this because you learned it from a book. You know this in your heart and in your being. You know this because everything about the God of creation has told you this. You understand? He said, you didn't learn this. You were told this and you understood it in your very being. You know this. So let's get a hold of this. This Big C Church is me and you and the whole world and everybody who calls themselves Christian and everybody who calls on the name of Jesus. And we all have this in common, that we know this because God revealed it to us. That Jesus is the Son of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But we can't stop there. We got to understand the whole thing. And this passage brings up the church universal. We call the Catholic Church. It brings up a lot of other stuff that other denominations take off on because it has not rightly been discerned, allowing the Holy Spirit of God to speak into us. The Bible represents itself. God's word never contradicts itself. It reveals itself. If we're obedient to hear from God through his word. And so here's what I want to say first. That he says, upon this rock I will build my church. So let's don't get caught up thinking that, like the Church Universal did, said that, well, Peter, we're building this church on you. Because that's not what this is saying. He's saying, upon this confession, upon you understanding that God revealed himself to you, revealed the word to you, revealed me to you, upon the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Son of God, I will build my church. You take a hold of that? He's not talking about Peter. None of the other apostles said, well, from here on out, Peter's a pope. We're going to have to talk to him. Ask him. That doesn't have anything to do with all of that. He said, upon your confession of this faith, this profession, as you know who I am, revealed to you by God, I will build my church. Do you believe that Jesus is the Lord of your life? But we ain't going to quit there. The truth of this is that revelation to his apostles of his very word is what the church is built on. That's what this Bible is built on. That's what we know and understand. That profession, that revelation is what the church is built on. Nothing more and nothing less. There's not another book to look to. There's not another commentator to look to. There's not another anybody. It's this book, his word. And us understanding that, that's what the church is to be built on. And so he continues on. And he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. So number two, he says, I will. I'm not thinking about, I'm not maybe going to. This might be a good idea, maybe a plan later on. He said, I will build my church. So this church is being built currently. It started way back a couple thousand years ago, a few thousand years ago. This idea that we're gonna stand here today with the truth of God, with his word in our hands and in our hearts. That's what the church is. I'm going to do it, he says. I will build my church. Number three, he said, it's my church. Jesus, the originator, the perfecter of our faith. Jesus, the architect, said, this is my church. It's not Brett's church. It's not your church. It's not some other pope or prophet's church. It's Jesus' church. And on Jesus' church, Jesus, we can say that. That is the coolest way to say it. We will understand God's word. We'll take his word out of our hearts, into our hands and our feet, and we'll go out into the world. He said, upon the revelation of his word, I'll build my church. Upon the revelation of the word of God, I will build my church. But he ain't done. He wants to continue to teach us something. Not only is it his church, he said, the gates of hell won't overcome it. Another one of those things where people get a little twisted up talking about, what? Because the truth is, if you're going to go fight somebody, you don't run up to and get a gate and go charging anybody. Nobody fights with a gate. You get a sword, you get a knife, you get a pistola, you get something to whoop something with. Nobody ever threatened somebody with a gate, and everybody went, ooh, he's got a gate, let's run. So what does it mean that the gates of hell ain't going to overcome you? What he's saying is that death has no power over the saved, the redeemed, the called, the elect, you and I. Death, the gates of hell have no power, no authority over us. The thing that spooks most of us into submission is death. Because we live this life, because we walk in this world, because we experience all of the crappiest that is of this world. And we're scared of death. But it doesn't have any power over us. Doesn't have any authority over us. It doesn't have a bite. Doesn't have a sting. Death can't overcome what you and I have in us. We're given the gift of life. The gates of hell won't overcome Jesus' church. They can torture us. They can whip us. They can run us off. They can talk bad about us. We can hit them with the gate because it don't bother nobody. They can't affect us. They can affect our earthly bodies. The thing that scares me about death is I think it's going to hurt. I hate to hurt me. But outside of that deal, I ain't scared at all. On the other side of the river, it is Skittles and rainbows. Wild cattle, good horses, good dogs, good friends, life. Right? The gates of hell can't overcome. Amen. But it ain't over yet. So the fifth thing that he wants to tell us that we've got to get our hand around is this idea that he says, whatever you bind in this. So church, this is what we got to know. It is Jesus' church. He's building it. He's going to continue to build it. He has all the authority over it. That what he's accomplishing was started way back in the garden. And today, death and hell can't overcome it. And that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's King James. And here I am holding a living translation. Huh? What is wrong with me?
Got a minute?
Yeah. We need some church discipline. But whatever you bind will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose will be loosed in heaven. Do you know what that means? It doesn't mean we get to walk around and talk and name and claim prosperity and faith and anything like that. It says if we'll stand on the word of God, we can say what God says is a sin, and nobody can do anything about it. It doesn't change. If we have the word of God, this is what this started with. This church is based and founded and fundamentally the word of God. And we have the authority of God to stand where you are and say, thus saith the Lord. If God called it a sin, it's still a sin. And it ain't our job to point out your sin. It's our job to reconcile our sin. Come on, Cowboys. We ain't going to change the world. We're going to change us. We're going to change where our feet are, what our hands are, what we're doing, what we're saying, where we're going. And this is the job of the church. And if we're going to get our head around this thing, we've got to get our head around the idea that we are obedient to Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith. The way, the truth, and the life. And what the church is built on is this word. Not my ideas, not my thoughts. This word. So having said all that, I hope that we have a fundamental grasp of what it means to be the church, of what God has called you and I individually to be and corporately to be. Now let's turn to Revelation chapter 2. That's at the end of your Bible. On page 949. Real quick. Microphones are fun. Real quick, we're going to spend the next 7, 8, 9 weeks talking about these churches, these seven churches, what God has called the church to be like, what he warns us against, what he knows that we're going to step into. And so when I read this little jag of scripture right here in Revelation 2, just know that the churches are currently something like 30 or 40 years old. Only one generation from Jesus himself walking. These people saw Jesus. They saw the miracle of the apostles. They saw the world get set on fire for the grace, love, and mercy of Jesus. They knew this firsthand. And now, at the end of probably 90, when the Apostle John is going to die, he writes this. This is what God said to him, sent to him. And real quickly in 2, a message to the church in Ephesus, which was the first little church on the way out, on the rural route of the postman, right? So all these seven churches are getting further away. And this is kind of a state of the union. Church 30 or 40 years old, this is kind of a state of the union of what the churches are like. And so what are we going to learn from this? It's here for you and I to learn from it. Not just to read it, but to know it, to learn it. Revelation is a beautiful story for us to have. And so he says to the church in Ephesus in the beginning of it, he says, this is coming from me, Jesus. We're going to get into how we know that. But in 2 and 2, he says, I know the things you do. I've seen your hard work, your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You've examined the claims of those who say they're apostles, but they ain't. You've discovered that they're liars. You've patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other like you did at first. Look how far you've fallen. Turn back to me with the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I'll come. I'll remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. But this is in your favor. You hate the evil deeds of the Nicolaitans, just like I do. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. And everyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God, the first church. But he doesn't quit. It's the same Jesus, talks to the church of Smyrna. And in 9, he says, I've known you about your suffering and your poverty, but you're rich. I know the blasphemy of those opposing you. They say they're Jews, but they ain't, because their synagogue belongs to Satan. Oh, don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. The devil is going to throw some of you into prison to test you, and you'll suffer for 10 days. But if you remain faithful, even when facing death, I will give you the crown of life. Anyone with ears, hear what the Spirit is saying. And he goes on, to the church in Pergamum. And in 19, same Jesus giving the same message. And in 19, he says, I know that the city that you live in is where Satan's throne is, yet you've remained loyal to me. You've refused to deny me, even when Antipas, my faithful witness, was martyred among you there in Satan's city. They watched this martyr die and say, do to me what you will. God's got my soul. But I have a complaint against you. You tolerate some among you whose teaching is like that of Balaam, who showed Balak how to trip up the people of Israel. He taught them to sin by eating food offered to idols and committing sexual sin. In a similar way, you have some Nicolaitans among you who follow the same teaching. Repent of your sins, or I'll come and suddenly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Anyone with ears, hear, listen what the Spirit is saying. To the church of Thyatira in 19, same Jesus giving the same word to this church. I know all the things you do, and I've seen your love, your faith, your service, and your patient endurance, and I can see your constant improvement in all these things. But I have a complaint against you. You're permitting that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, to lead my servants astray. Oh, she teaches them to commit sexual sin, eat food offered to idols. And I gave her time to repent, but she ain't going to do it. She won't turn away from her immorality. Therefore, I will throw her onto a bed of suffering, and those who commit adultery with her will suffer greatly unless they repent and turn from their evil deeds. Then all the churches will know that I am the one who searches out the thoughts and intentions of every person. I'll give each of you whatever you deserve, but I also have a message for the rest of you in Thyatira who have not followed this false teaching. Deeper truths, like they call them. Depths of Satan, actually. I'll ask nothing more of you except that you hold tightly to what you have until I come. And to all who are victorious, who obey me to the end, to them I will give authority over all the nations. They'll rule the nations with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. They will have the same authority I've received from my Father, and I will also give them the morning star. Anyone with ears, hear. You had to have once been blind and now see to understand this. And so, to the church in Sardis in 3, he said, I know all the things that you do. You have a reputation for being alive, but you're dead. Wake up and strengthen what little time remains. For even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions don't meet the requirements of my God. Go back to what you heard and believed at first and hold on to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. And if you don't wake up, I will come suddenly and unexpectedly as a thief. Yet there are some in the church in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes with evil. Oh, they will walk with me in white, for they're worthy. So all who are victorious will be clothed in white, and I will never erase their names from the book of life, but I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. Anyone with ears, hear. Listen to what the Spirit's saying, the Holy Spirit. And finally, second to finally, he says to Philadelphia, this is the message from one who is holy and true, the key of David. He opens what he opens, no one can close, and what he closes, no one can open. I know all the things that you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. You got little strength, yet you obeyed my word, and you didn't deny me. Look, I'm going to force those who belong to Satan's synagogue, those liars who say they're Jews but ain't, to come bow down at your feet, and they will acknowledge that you are the ones I love. And because you have obeyed my command to persevere, I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to the world. I'm coming soon, and hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. All who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of God, and they'll never have to leave it. I'll write on them the name of God, and they will be citizens of the city of God, the new Jerusalem that comes from heaven, and I will also write on them my new name. Anyone with ears, hear. And so finally, at Laodicea, he says, I know all the things that you do, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you was one or the other. But since you're like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich. I got everything I need. I don't need a single thing. What you don't realize is that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I advise you to buy gold from me. Gold that's been purified by fire. And then you'll be rich. Also buy white garments from me so that you won't be ashamed of your nakedness. And ointment for your eyes that you'll be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent. Turn from your indifference. Look. I stand at the door and knock, and if you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. We'll share a meal together as friends, and those who are victorious will sit with me in my throne just as I was victorious and sat with my Father at his throne. These seven churches have a message for all churches, for you and I individually, for the church corporately, for the world, for everything. But we have a responsibility, you and I, to open up this book, look at these seven letters to these seven churches and understand how and what it means for you and I, corporately and individual. This is how we're going to understand how we, the church, the Big C church, the church of God, is going to move forward. I'm done today. Pray with me. Lord, I thank you for the revelation that you are the builder of our church. You're building this church. You have given us this church. You are stewarding this church. That we have a responsibility to continue to work on building this church that is built on your very word. Your very words, the things that you have said, that you have revealed to us, that you have given us in what we call the Bible. Almighty God, creator of the universe, it is almost more than we can understand because we think we do a good job of stewarding our lives and our world and the things that we have. And then we blame the lost and broken world on all the crap that goes on. Lord, could we understand that you're in charge of this? That nothing goes on that's outside of your approval, that's outside of your design, that's outside of what you have begun in the beginning. So Lord, give us the strength to take your word into our hearts that we might understand who we are, your church. That we might understand what you mean in these seven letters to these seven churches. That we might be changed because you have revealed to us the way, the truth, and the life. Almighty God, thank you for who you are and what you've done and for where we're going. Lord, we pray for your blessing. And we ask for your grace and mercy on our days and in our lives and in our families. And we do all of these things on the authority of Jesus, your Son, who has given us the right to come to your very presence and ask. Oh, we love you. Amen. Amen.
D chord.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down, glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down, I feel better, so much better. Since I laid my burdens down, yes I do, I feel better, so much better. Since I laid my burden down,
everybody,
oh glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down, glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down.